the name of God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Well, today's gospel comes right on the heels of the account of the man born blind that we read back on, I think it was the fourth Sunday of Lent. If we were reading continuously in John's gospel, we'd hear about the man born blind, about how Jesus healed him, and the religious authorities ultimately expelled him from the synagogue. And Jesus went to find him, and the man became a follower. And right away, we hear today's gospel. Now, it helps to understand that at the time, any talk about shepherds was talk about leadership, religious or secular. Everyone would have heard it that way. There's a long tradition of describing the leaders of Israel, and even God, as witnessed by our 23rd Psalm, as shepherd. And in John's Gospel, the typical pattern is a sign. They're called signs, not miracles. And it's an introduction, the sign, and then a longer speech, they call them discourses, which is a commentary on the sign that just happened. And today's gospel is that commentary. Jesus is talking about the folks in charge who were not interested in the healing of the man born blind, but rather in determining who sinned, whose fault was it that he was blind in the first place. And also, what kind of dangerous claims folks might be making about the one who gave him sight, Jesus. Now, this particular speech today is not going to win Jesus any popularity contests. He's pointing at the religious leaders as thieves and bandits and hired hands. That's not in the Dale Carnegie course about winning friends. And he all but says outright that the religious authorities are enriching themselves at the expense of the people. Those authorities seem to believe that being rich or important is a function of their relationship with God, and that someone who suffers must be sinful, or his parents were. Their view of the world is that God rewards people who are better than others, more righteous, puts them in charge, and, oh yeah, makes them wealthy. But Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, when talking about the man born blind who's been begging for a living. Now, he will have, instead of fabulous wealth or importance, he'll now know that he's safe, that he can trust his basic needs will be met, and that as a Jesus follower, he's no longer alone. Jesus' idea of abundant life is not at all what the prosperity gospel folks would have us believe, not at all what those religious authorities who worried about other people's sins would have us believe. Actually, that prosperity gets in the way when others go without basic necessities. When we, any of us, are enriched at the expense of others, then we, well, we're going to be those thieves and bandits that Jesus is talking about here. Another thing we can hear in this gospel that isn't there, we're so steeped in church dogma about how sinful we are, about how Jesus came to deliver us, which is true. But we can easily miss the fact that Jesus doesn't say a word about that here. He says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's it. No quid pro quo. No prerequisite that you be sorry for sins. As St. John tells us elsewhere in the gospel, what's required is that we abide in Jesus. That's it. Now, I'm sure you've heard sermons from me or somebody else about how we are the sheep, and how sheep aren't exactly the brightest ones in the barnyard. So being compared to sheep is not terribly complimentary. My seminary classmate Ben spent his middle school years on a sheep farm in Austria, and he tells me that sheep really do know the shepherd's voice. It's kind of exhausting during lambing season because the sheep want to be with the human that they know when they're in labor. No substitute will do, they'll run away from a stranger. So sheep may be dumb in a lot of things, but in terms of knowing, in terms of relating to others, sheep aren't so dumb. They know the voice of the one who cares for them. They know that security and safety is to be found with the shepherd. Jesus says, I know my sheep by name. This image of Jesus as the good shepherd is an ancient Christian one. It's even older than the crucifix. It's in the catacombs in Rome from about the 2nd century, and there's an enormous mosaic in Ravenna that's a century or two later. And it appears a lot of other places too. But the earliest ones usually show a young, unbearded shepherd carrying a lamb wrapped around his neck. And later the figure gets more like the Jesus we're used to with a beard and all. In the Chapel of the Good Shepherd at General Seminary, where I went to school, there are, of course, several images of Jesus the Good Shepherd. As the reredos behind the altar and on the great bronze doors to the chapel that are only closed on Good Friday. Mostly it's Jesus with these sweet, tender lambs. Perfectly lovely, sweet scene. Well, except for the crook. The shepherd's crook is huge. It's a couple of feet taller than Jesus. And it's wicked sharp and pointy. It looks dangerous. See, the shepherd's job was to protect the sheep from predators like wolves. And to go after the sheep who got themselves stuck in thickets, who fall off cliffs, and to sleep at night at the entrance to the sheepfold, to be the gate, and to lead the sheep out through the wilderness to pasture. Sheep can't stay in the sheepfold forever. So to see who Jesus is requires attention to what he says about following, and above all, to what we see him doing. It requires recognizing him as the shepherd, hearing a known and trusted voice, and following, both. Arguing about who sinned and who's righteous and what needs to be done or believed to get there is pointless. A logical proof of Jesus' arguments just isn't possible in John's Gospel. And that's a good thing, because sheep aren't known to be great logicians. It's the shepherd who identifies the flock. It's the shepherd who pursues, even when the silly sheep wander off. It's the shepherd whose purpose is one with the Father. It's the shepherd whose care and protection and rescue of each one speaks more clearly than words. Whose sheep know his voice, hear him calling, and he follows them. And Jesus pursues each of us, calls each of us, shows each of us what it is to follow him, to begin to live into eternal life right now. We just listen.